We are holding on Amadeus, four lines from the bottom. Continuing on this topic of Avram and Achai and Basar and Achai, we have a limb or a piece of flesh that came off a living animal. So let's talk more about such a game. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in Braisa. Achoisa Chazayis Basar me'Avram and Achai. If a person cuts off a Chazayis of flesh from an Avram and Achai, so again, you have a complete Aver that came off an animal. And then you cut off a kazayas of meat from it. Rashi actually explains, rather, the word shouldn't be kazayas, because we're going to be talking about, as far as Tumas Oichlin, and Rashi holds consistently, as he does throughout Shas, that in order to become tame, food in the first place, you have to have actually a kabetza. So Rashi rather points out that the word kezias is not found in the original kesefta, in the original collection of braises from which this braise comes. So a person cuts off a kezias from it, or Rashi says that it should really be a kabetza. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam do hold that actually not just to transmit trauma, but to contract trauma as well. In the first place, it needs to be a kabeza, as opposed to we've talked about before, that Rambam has a different shita, which is that any amount can become tame if only to transmit trauma to something else, that you need at least a kabeza. If first he cut it off and then planned it to use for food, to give it to a goy, as we learned before, goy is technically not allowed to eat it either, but you're more likely to find a goy, as we learned before, the Tosafos Yom Tov points out, you're more likely to find a goy who'll be willing to eat it more than a yid. So you've cut it off and then you thought about it to her. Then it's tahor. It doesn't have tumas oichlin, and it doesn't have the truma of nevela either. It came off the Avram and Achai, and therefore it's tahor. It doesn't have the truma of nevela, as we learned yesterday. And therefore it doesn't have its own truma. And after he thought about it, deciding he's going to use it for food, we're talking about it didn't touch anything else, any other source of truma that it should become tame. But if he thought about it to use it as food, and then he cut it off tame, then it has tuma. So now it's able to become tumas oichlin, because now now it's able to have tumas oichlin. And in fact, what's going to happen is now it touched the nevela that it was part of. As long as it was attached, Rashi explains, then it wasn't able to become tame, because it already had a stronger tumah on it, the tumah of Avram and Achai. But once he cuts it off, then that stronger tumah goes away, and now it's able to become, tumas oichlin. There's a different understanding, Shit Mukubetis, but it's an explanation in Rashi that actually, a different view say in Rashi, that actually it's not even that we're talking about the piece he cut off, we're talking about the whole Aver as a whole. He plans to use it as food. In fact, Agoisma Rav Ransberg also refers over here on the side, also refers to a Rambam that mentions this halacha, and where the Kesef Mishnah, in fact, has a discussion about this matter of whether it's a kezias or whether it's not, and the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam's formulation of the halacha. The Rambam says that it doesn't need hechsher, because it's going to have tumah hamura, and the Ravid asks why, and the Kesef Mishnah has a long discussion of why how the Rambam understands our Gemara. In any case, so that's the Braisa is saying, then, that you have that distinction, whether you plan to use it as food before you cut it off or not. So the Gemara says, the Gemara tells in this connection, Rav Asi like Olave Medrash, or one time, Rav Asi did not go into the Beis Medrash one day. Ashkechel Rav Zera, later on he met up with Rav Zera. Omalei, he asked him, my Omer, Rav Medrash, what did they talk about in the Beis Medrash today? So Amalei sort of Zera asks my kashala, why? What do you find difficult? What do you mean? What do you find difficult? He just wants to know. But evidently, Reb Zera knows there's a certain schedule. They both knew there's a certain schedule of what they're going to be learning. So Reb Asi knows perfectly well what they were going to be learning, the topic they were going to be learning in the Beis Medrash. So he's obviously not asking that. So he's obviously asking that. He's obviously asking because he wants it as a prelude to a question that there's something that they must have discussed this point in the Beis Medrash. So I know the topic that we're going to discuss, but I don't know the answer to the particular question that I have on the subject. So Amalei, so Reb Asi says, what was bothering me is to Katani with this braisa that says chishva hakachoscha. If he thought to use it as food and then he cut it off from the Evan Achai Tomei, then it's able to be mekabel. Then it becomes Tomei. We're saying it actually becomes Tomei by having touched the Evan Achai while it was still connected. And again, as Rashi says, until you disconnected it, until you cut it off, it won't be Tomei of Tumas Oichlin, simply because it's already Tomei as the Tumah of Eiv Menachai. But afterwards, when you cut it off, then that strong Tumah goes away, and now you just have a weaker Tumah. So the question is, Reb Asi asks, why should it be Tomei anyway? Tumas Beis Hastorim, he isn't it a Tumah in a hidden place? The Tumas Beis Hastorim, like Metamei, and Tumah in a hidden place is not Metamei, because only when you have the area, when you have one thing touches another in an exposed area, then you have Tumah. But over here, the surface where they were connected together was hidden at the time. So why should it? Why should it be Tumah? We should say the same way as for we talked about earlier in the Masechta. For example, we talked about cases of flesh being cut off an animal. We talked about a piece of cloth being cut off of a larger piece of cloth, etc. Tosfos refers over here to something that they discussed over there, whether there might be a difference, whether you cut it off very, very sharply, like a sudden cut, or whether you did it more gradually, where there we could talk about that it's still connected at some point. In any case, so Rashi points out, we learn from a pasuk that Tumas Beis Hastorim is not Metamei. Sort of Zeta answers, after the Didi, Kashali, you know what, I have the same question. Ushilti Rab Abba Bar Memel. Now I asked Rab Abba Bar Memel in the Beis Medrash, apparently, because that's where the discussion took place. But Omali, and he told me, Homani Rab Meir, you know what this Brai says, like Rab Meir, Domer Tumas Beis Hastorim Metame, he disagrees with the Dirosha that Rashi refers to in the Gemara and Nida, and says that in fact, Tumas Beis Hastorim will be Metame. We actually had, so Rashi points out earlier in the Masechta, when we talked about the whole matter of an unborn baby found inside the womb, where you shechted we talked about where the baby stuck out a limb from the womb, and then you shechted the mother, and then you cut off that, and then you cut off that piece. So the Meir holds that it's considered Maga Nevela. It's considered the piece that stuck out is considered Nevela. And now when you cut a piece off it, then we say that it's considered to be Tomei by virtue of the fact that it touched Nevela. So now how did it touch? Only because they were connected, but there was Beis Hastorim. Doesn't matter. The Meir still apparently says that Tumas Beis Hastorim is Metamei. So now again, here's where Tosfos now there again where Tosfos points out that there might be a difference whether you cut it off all of a sudden suddenly or whether you do a more gradual cut. A different point somebody showed to make a point also is that the fact that we're saying that he cut off the basar implies he cut off all the basar, and now we learned yesterday what's the definition of Eivim Menachai, according to one way of looking at it, is that it contains basar and now it doesn't anymore. So that would be a different way of looking at it. In any case, that would be the answer. That in fact the Meir holds that Tumah space Hastorim, that when things touch for in Tumah, that it is in fact still Metamei. Amalei, but Reb Asi says, I'm not really satisfied with that answer. Balav Zimnin Sagi and Amra Kamoi didn't Reb Abba Bar Memel said this answer many times when I was there. You're telling me now that one day I wasn't in the Beis Medrash and Reb Abba Bar Memel gave this answer. So what? He gave this answer many times before when I was there. the Amulei, and I told him, Shanele, that a mayor ben Tumah Debarya Hechsher, or ben Tumah Delay Barya Hechsher. There must be a difference, according to the mayor, between a Tumah, between Tumah Sdeis Hasdarim, where on top of that, it also requires another thing in order to be able to be, in order to be able to be Mekabel Tumah, namely, where it needs to be wedded with one of the Sheva Mashkim, versus not. In that case that we learned earlier in the Masechta, when you shech the mother, automatically the baby is Mukhshel Mekabel Tumah. So now, when it's still connected together, then it can be metamin. But in our Mishnah, we're talking about an Eva Menachai, and then you have a piece of flesh that came off it, and we said Sarich Hechsher, we said it still requires Hechsher. Well then, so the fact is, it didn't have Hechsher before it was cut off, so how is it getting Tumah? From the original thing that it was attached to. So don't tell me that this Braisa is like a mayor, even according to the mayor. There would have to be that distinction. So at that point, apparently Reb Zera dropped the discussion. But Omar Rava, says, I'll give an answer. My kusha, what's the question? Maybe in fact we are talking about that it was mukshar, that it was wedded with one of the shiva mashkin before it was cut off. Well then, it's not missing that hechsher anymore. But Amalei Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amalei Rava bar Rav Chanan la Rava, but Rava bar Rav Chanan says to Rava, is that any better? On the contrary, Lomalei Hechsher. Well, you could ask the other way around. Why do you need Hechsher? Hadei Metama Tuma Chamura Agav Aviv. After all, when it's attached to its parent, meaning the Eva as a whole, then it's Metame as Eva Menachai. And that's Tumah Chamura, that's a stronger Tumah than Tumah Sarichin, because it has intrinsic Tumah of its own, and as usual with Eva Menachai and with Nevela, it's Metamei a person, and it's Metamei Kalim. And we learned earlier in our Peret, that when do you need Hechsher? Only when it's not going to have Tumah Chamura. We learned over there that the Pasuk talks about seeds, which never are going to have Tumah Chamura, because food can never be an Abba Tumah, and therefore it requires Hechsher, and we learn from that only things that can never be an Abba Tumah require Hechsher, not in this case over here, where Eva Menachai itself is an Ava Tumah. Another example we learned over there, Rashi points out, is, for example, a dead kosher bird, where we said that it's capable of having Tumah Chamura when it's swallowed. So you're telling me that our Mishnah is talking about where it had Hechsher, then the question is, on the contrary, why do you need Hechsher? And if it doesn't, then that would take care of Rav Asi's question. What Rav Meir would draw a distinction between whether it needs Hechsher or not. The fact is, in this case, it doesn't need Hechsher either, just as it doesn't with the unborn animal. And then Rav Abba Bar Memel's answer would be quite sufficient. So Rova answers him, Kishimish Maitse Eitz Shimish, because when it was still attached together, it still wasn't considered food. It was still considered to be considered to be like wood, which is not edible. Meaning, in other words, as an Eva Menachai, there was basar in it, there was flesh in it, but after all, that flesh was not meant to be eaten yet, because nobody had planned to eat it, and after all, it is also to both Jews and Goyim, and it was together with the Gidim and the bones, it was made up one Eva. Now it became food. So Rashi explains, you have the expression, Ponim Chadoshes Bo Lakan. It's almost like it's a new face, it's a new entity, and therefore now it's not considered to be part of something that was Tumah Chamura, as opposed to, you want to talk about a Nivlas Oif Tahar, fine, it only is Metame a person when he eats it anyway, so it's all food the whole time, as opposed to over here, we're talking about it starts out as an Eif Menachai, which is not capable of being used for food. But now it became food. Tosfos explains a little bit differently that the vote is before it had Tumah Chamura, it was Eva Menachai, now it's not Eva Menachai, because now it's only flesh, now it's not called Eva, so it has a whole different name, as opposed to Nivlas Oif Tahor and other examples of that. It all has the same designation in Halacha as it did before. In fact, by the way, Tosfos points out, you're going to tell me that food can never have Tumah Chamura. In fact, the Gemara is going to give an example soon of food that actually could get Tumah Chamura, namely, on the contrary, by being used as if it was wood. The Gemara is going to give an example soon of, for example, you took a block of dough and made it into a chair. So then, in effect, you do have a case where food can become wood, and therefore it can be makabel tumah, and therefore it can even have tumah chamura, for example, if a zav sits on it. So in any case, then it comes out as follows. The Braisa had said that there's a difference whether you thought about it before you cut it off or not, and Rav Asi is wondering what's the difference, why should it be Matame anyway? The place where they were connected together is considered maga basis starting. So now there was also no hechsher. So Abba Mamemel's answer is saying you don't require hechsher, and the fact that it was maga basis starting doesn't matter. A mayor holds that way. Whereas Rabasi is saying that no, it still requires hechsher, and therefore Rav Meir would draw a distinction whether it requires hechsher or not. But now the Gemara is going to go into a discussion. Okay, so if we're going to say according to Rava that when you have something which currently is Maisa 8, that currently is functioning as wood, then it's not able to be makabel, it's not able to be to have the tumah of food. So let's discuss a number of dinim that are going to result from that, or that are going to have to be questioned in the light of that. So Amar Abayis, Abayis is first of all, Harei Omru, here's an example. We learn in a Braisa, Kupa Se'er, a block of sourdough, Sheyichdel Yeshiva. If you decided that you're going to sit on it, so normally you would use sourdough as sourdough, you would use it to leaven another batch of dough, and then you would eat it. But here, instead, you took this block, and you decided that you're going to use it as a chair. So the din is butla, so it's butl from chometz, and now you don't have to get rid of it on Pesach, because even though conceivably you could break off a piece and use it for sourdough, nevertheless, though, the fact that you decided that you're going to use it as a chair now makes it that now you're not oivan bal yirol bal yimotze. On the other hand, though, so now it becomes a chair. So now if it's a chair, then that implies, in other words, that it should be able to be makabel tumas midras. It should be able to have the strong tumah of a zov sitting or whatever on it, where then it becomes an abba tumah, and if somebody else sits on it, he becomes tumah. So the Braisa says that it's bottle as chometz. Now, so Abaya says tumasa lav daraisa. On the face of it, we would have to say though that the level of tumah, that it's able to contract if a zav or whatever sits on it, must be lav daraisa. It must be that tumah that it's capable of getting now would not be daraisa. In other words, the Rabbanon are not going to say that now it becomes a keli. Because Abaya says, if you were going to think that it's daraisa, matzino lo ochlin shematam and tumah chamura, then what are you telling me we have? And what are you telling me? We have the din that we have the din before that we learned earlier in our parak, and we just referenced now that food can never become an avatoma. Well, there you go. Food can become an avatoma because it could be used as a chair, and therefore would have that toma. But nevertheless, though, in other words, we don't. Now, on the face of it, well, why shouldn't it be? I mean, the usual rule. When
Alexander, if you say that it's used as a chair, by definition, it's not food.
But the point is, you could still break off a piece of it and use it as food, because you could still use it as chametz. But that's the question. In other words, basically the question. Given that, Rashi points out, you know, what's the general rule? When is something able to become tumas midras and when not? You have the famous rule that if you would say amud v'nafsa malachteinu, if it's something where you're sitting on it and somebody would say, get up, we want to use it for our work, then it's not considered to be something that is makabel tumas midras. So we have when we go through the Mishnayos for Yotzei for the 11 months, and we have the whole parak over there, Shloisha Trisenhain, we go through that whole point, And we discuss exactly that point each time. You have different types of the same keli, where one of them is makabel trumas nidras because it's meant for sitting or lying on or whatever. Another one which is not, because, and two other kinds, one of which is makabel other kinds of trumas, and one is not, of which is not even makabel any kind of truma at all, because in both of those we would say amud v'nasa malachteinu. We would tell them, get up, we want to use this for some work, it's not meant to sit on. Well, on the face of it here, exactly that. You made it into a chair, it's not amud v'nasa malachteinu. So it should become tamei midaraisa as the tumah of a zav. Nevertheless, the rabbi says it seems that not, because otherwise then that would break Rabbi Shmuel's rule and say that and we would say that there is a case where food is able to have tumah hamura, where it's able to have a severe tumah. So it must be that the whole concept that it's mitame is only drabanan. Tosfos wonders in that case, well, then on the contrary, then you have the question, what do you mean then you're allowed to keep it around on Pesach? If Daraisa, it's still considered food, then you wouldn't be able to keep it around on Pesach either. So Tosfos leaves the question open. The Tosfos Rosh answers, because look, after all, Midaraisa, all you need to do is be mevatel chametz. It's only midrabanan that you have to actually search for chametz and remove it. Midaraisa, it would be perfectly possible to just be mevatel your chametz mentally, and then you're actually allowed to keep it around. So now, if you decided you're going to use it as a chair, then that's the equivalent of being mevatel it. But here we see the Chachamim are allowing you to keep it, showing therefore that the Chachamim are being consistent. On the one hand, we're not going to make you get rid of it for Pesach, but on the other hand, we're going to consider it midrabanan, therefore we are going to consider it a chair, and therefore it'll become tomei tumas midras from a zav or whatever. So there you go. So Abaya points out it must be that the Tumah is only Daraisa. But the Gemara says not necessarily. Now that we have Rava's point that when food is being used as Maise 8 as the equivalent of wood, then already it's considered wood. And we said even on Daraisa level, because we said that's what we were talking about, according to Rava, that this limb of the animal, that it wasn't considered food because it was still considered Maise 8. So it was still considered to be, in effect, just wood. And therefore, only when you decided to use it as food, then we're saying that it requires and when we're saying that it was able to be metame tumah hamura agav aviv, when we're saying that the whole limb was able to be metame as eishem anachai, but at that point it was only maisa eitz because it wasn't meant to be eaten. So now, when it does become a food, if you decide that you wanted to use it as a food, then it does require hechsher. Well, using that principle of Rava's then is going to work the same way over here with this din. Shimish, Maisa Eitz Shimish. The fact is, when you're using it as a chair, then exactly that, you're using it as a block of wood. So, in other words, you don't have to say like Abaya that it's only midrabanan that it will be considered a chair. Midaraisa can be considered a chair, because once you decide that it's going to be used as a chair, then that's it. Then now it has the din, now it has all the dinim of a chair, and it can even be mitame. So on the one hand, it means that as far as Pesach, it means that even Daraisa, you'll be able to keep it, no problem. Well, that we said before, even according to Abaya, but the fact that it becomes tome from a zav will actually be Daraisa and not necessarily only midrabanan. So there's an example where we can take Rava's principle and apply it to another din. Now the Gemara is going to go on with several other cases where we do the same kind of thing, where we're going to apply this rule of Maisa 8 and apply it to other areas in Halacha. So here's another one. Amar Abaya, Hare Omru. Now here we have a Braisa which we learned near the beginning of our Masechta, that says, talking about when a goy shechts an animal, then you have a problem if he shechted at l'shem avodah zarah. And we talked about, more generally, we talked about things that are used for avodah zarah worship. Now yesterday we talked about a case where, for example, a pumpkin itself is used as an avodah zarah. Here we're talking about rather tekroivus avodah zarah, when you have something that you offer to avodah zarah, that a person offers to avodah zarah. Now that's also b'hana, and it also has a tumah midrabanan. So, Harei Omru, we learn in a Braisa, Tekroivus Avodah Zarah Mishal Oichlin, when a person takes food and offers it to Avodah Zarah, Metamin Ba'oihel, such food is actually Metamin Ba'oihel, just like a mess. We learn from that, earlier in the Masechta, we said that actually, that is metame just like the dead. You have a pasuk that says they ate from sacrifices to the dead, and therefore that compares these sacrifices to the dead, and therefore it has tumah of oil. Now, so again, Abaye says tumah salav daraisa. It must be that the tumah of it is not daraisa, and the pasuk that we're bringing is only an asmachta, and it's not actually mitamim daraisa, because otherwise, again, the sakadai of daraisa. If you were to think of the daraisa, matzino lo uklin shemitamim tumah chamura, then there again you would have an example of food that has tumah chamura, because if it's mitamim ba'oyel, then it means it's mitamim people, and it's mitamim kalim. And again, Rabbi Shmuel's rule earlier in our perek had been that food can never have tumah hamura. But again, now that we have Rava's principle, we can answer again, Shimish, Maisa Eitz Shimish, because when it was serving that food, it was serving in effect as wood rather than food. Because, in other words, it was used as tekrevis avodah zarah. Therefore, it was also bahana. So now it became inedible. Now, in effect, it became inedible. It's the equivalent of wood that was worshipped or wood that was offered to avodah zarah. And therefore, we can't say that. Therefore, it doesn't break Rabbi Shmuel's rule, and we can still learn from that and say that only things that are right now considered food require hechsher to be metame, and not things that are not currently considered wood, that are not currently considered food. So that's another thing where once we have Rava's principle, then that helps answer something that we would have wondered about before, which we wouldn't have known the answer to. Another one, Amar Abaye Hare Omru. Here's another example. We learn in a Mishnah, Chibure Oichlin Kekelim Damu. When food is connected to a keli, it's considered like the keli itself. Chibure Oichlin Bekelim Kekelim Damu is really how it's supposed to be. So it's like this. In other words, we derive it from a Mishnah. This is also going back to the matter of Pesach. A Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim describes, suppose you have a tray or a trough or bowl or whatever, an areva is the expression in the Mishnah, that has cracks in it, and it has dough in the cracks. The Mishnah describes what are the dinim of it as far as Pesach. When would you have to get rid of that dough from the cracks versus when would you not? So the Mishnah talks about over there if there's a kazayis in one place, otherwise it's bottle. And the Mishnah continues as far as tumah. The Mishnah says if you makbid on it, if you care about it and you want to remove it, then it would be considered a chatzitza. In other words, then if you want to tovel the keli, you would have to remove that dough first. If not, then the Mishnah says then it's considered part of the tray itself. So Abaye is sort of paraphrasing and summarizing the point of that Mishnah using these words chibura oichlin kekelim damu, that when food is connected to a keli, then it's considered like part of the keli. Again, Abaye says we would have to assume without Rava's principle, tumos and lav daraisa. Evidently, the fact that they're able to be makabel tumah can't be daraisa. Disakadai doch daraisa. If it were, again, matzino lo echlo shematame tumah chamura. Then you would have another example of food that is able to have tumah chamura, and again, that would violate Rabbi Shmuel's rule, because if you were to tell me that it was daraisa, what it would mean is, for example, let's say the tumah touches that dough that's in the crack, then would it transmit tumah to the rest of the keli? We're saying that it does. It's considered part of the keli. Well, that can only be darabanan. Daraisa, it wouldn't be considered part, and therefore, if the mess or whatever touches the dough, then the keli itself wouldn't become tumah. But again, now that we have Rava's principle, then we can say Shimish. I say it's Shimish. No, because at that point, that dough that's in the crack is considered to be functioning as wood rather than food, and therefore, the rule is still going to apply. Anything that is currently serving as food requires hechsher. Anything that is not currently serving as food does not. But the fact that it's able to have tumah chamura, the fact that it's able to have a strong tumah, fine, because right now it's functioning as wood. If later on you decide to use it as food, then that will be exactly what Rava was saying before, that then it needs a set, that then it's considered now its status has changed, and now it would need heksher in order to be mekabel tumah. Okay. another one, Amuleta Popola Rabba, Hodatanya. Here's another one that we can do. Here's another thing that we can answer using your principle. Hodatanya, we learn in a Braisa, this one is actually a Mishnah. Chelev nevela b'kfarim, the chelev of a nevela animal in villages. So now, as we learned yesterday, there's a difference as far as chelev between villages and cities, where we said Rashi gave two explanations. One is because in a village you have fewer people, so you shecht an animal, you'll be able to have enough of the meat, you don't need to eat the chelev, as opposed to in a big city, there's a lot more people, so they may have to resort to eating the chelev as well. The other point Rashi had said is because in the villages people are poor, so they can't afford the chelev, as opposed to in cities they're richer and they can. Anyway, so now you have, suppose that this chelev is from a nevela. So now the pasuk tells us yeosa l'chol melacha, which means that it can be used for any kind of work, meaning that it doesn't have the tumah of nevela. In other words, the Torah wants you to know when you have a nevela animal, if you touch any part of the nevela, you're going to become tameh. The Torah tells us in Parshas Shmini, as we've been learning throughout this parak. But because the Torah also tells us that the chelev of a nevela yeosa l'chol melacha can be used for any kind of work, that's as much as to say go ahead and use it for whatever kind of work. You won't become tameh by touching it. As long as you don't touch the rest of the animal. So now, therefore, tzarech machshava v'hechsher, therefore, if a person decides that he wants to eat it, and again, by default, in a village, it's not considered to be food, so if it's going to have the tumah of food, then it has to, it's going to be susceptible to tumah from the tumah of food, to tumah sarichlin, you would need machshava, you would need to think that you plan to use it for food, and v'hechsher, and it would also have to be mukhshar l'kabel tumah with one of the seven liquids. But Papa points out, without Rava's principle, we would have to ask Tum Oser Agav Kulya Lav Daraisa. Now, what about though the Chelev? On the other hand, one type of Chelev we learned before is what surrounds the kidney. You have what's called in medicalese the renal capsule, which consists of Chelev, or part of it at least consists of Chelev, and that Chelev is also to eat. And we learned a couple of days ago it's considered a shomer for the kidney. We asked how so, if on the face of it you can't get to the kidney without cutting through the fat. And the answer is there are actually threads of whether of muscle, whether of blood vessels, of nerves, whatever it is, that do pass through that chelev and are considered part of the kidney, and therefore the chelev can be considered a shomer for the kidney. So the question is, if the chelev is on the nevela, then wouldn't it have to be a tumah d'rabbanan? The sakadadach d'araisa. If you were going to tell me that it was d'araisa, same thing. Matzino lo yichol shem atame tumah hamora. Wouldn't you have a case of food that has tumah hamora? Because if it's able to become tame as a shomer, once the chelev is considered food, then the fact that it becomes tomei together with the kidney would be because it's a shomer for it. But Papa says evidently it must mean that whole concept must be only d'rabbanan. So one thing is Rashi is making a distinction over here. In the previous ones, we all said that what we're going to be using Rava's principle for is to explain why is it that the thing is able to become tomei at all. Here. And the answer is because Maisa Eitz, and that answer is so we don't have to say that in all those cases the tumah of it is drabbanon. Here on the other hand, Rashi is telling us that the question is why do we say that means hechsher? And Maharsha explains because chelev is not unlike all the other things that originally were food. We had the dough that you decided to use as a chair, the food that somebody offered to Avodah Zarah that started out as food. Here it's the other way around. Chelev by default doesn't start out as food. But the question is, though, the fact is that the Braisa is telling us that it needs hechsher, but it has tumah hamura. It's able to be metamet tumah hamura because of the kidney that's inside it, and because it's a shomer for that. So why should it require hechsher? So that would be Rapapa's point. But now again, we can answer shemish ma'isa eitz shemish. Same answer. It was functioning as wood. Because previously, precisely that, the chelev previously was not intended to be used as food because it's a village and nobody eats chelev over there generally. So therefore, in effect, it was considered wood. So therefore, and the fact that it's a shomer is neither here nor there. The same way as, for example, we learned earlier in our Masechta that hooves and horns and things like that are able to be a shomer, and nevertheless, they're still not metamed, so they still don't have tumas oichlin. They can transmit the tumor with it, but they can't become tome itself with it. So therefore, so again, Rava's wool helps us understand that. And another one, Amar Rav Masna. Rav Masna says here's another din that we can use Rava's principle for. Hare Omru. We have a statement that was said. Now, previously we had all the other ones were Mishnayos or Brisos. Here Rashi says, I don't know where this one comes from, where this one is stated. But there is a din, bias chesikha bizrohim. If a person put a roof on a house using seeds, so he uses stalks of grain, for example, and they still have some seeds in them, and he used the whole thing as roof for a house, toharu, then they're tahar, they're not makabel tumah anymore, and if they were tumah before, then the tumah goes away. So again, tumase lav daraisa. The fact that so now what happens though? Okay, the house itself is not able to become tome. On the other hand, on the face of it, the house has the din of an oihel. If now there's a mess inside, or as we said before, tikkurigus avodah zarah, something offered to avodah zarah inside that house. Another example would be a masoda, whatever. You have a number of things that in halacha that are matame tumas oihel, that they're matame when you're under the same roof as them. Well, on the face of it, Masna would say, the fact that it's able to convey tuma from one thing to another must not be daraisa. Because we would still consider those seeds to be food. Rashi brings a different dirsa over here. So Rashi explains, in other words, the vote would be again that because you're using them as a roof, then therefore the seeds in them are bottled. Now another point actually Rashi says is never mind actually as far as Tumas Oihel. Another point would be though that the house is able to become tome with saras, and if the saras persists or spreads long enough, as we talked about a little bit yesterday, the dinim of it, then the fact is that the whole house becomes tameh, and as the tameh, anything that's inside the house. So again, tumase lav daraisa, on the face of it, the tumah must not be daraisa, the sakadaydach daraisa. Now, Rashi brings a different girsa, not the word toharu. Rashi brings a different girsa, but Rashi's first girsa is that havi bias, it's considered a house. similar idea, in other words. So to say havi bias would mean it's a house which is relevant as far as the dinim of Saras. To say toharu would mean that before the food might have been tome and now it becomes tahar, or before it might have been susceptible to tome and now it's not susceptible to tome anymore. Anyway, the Masna says, tumase lav daraisa, on the face of it, the tumah that's capable of having tumah must not be daraisa. Disakadaitach daraisa, if it was, matzim b'zorim shematame tumah chamora. Then again, you would have a case, not like Rabbi Shmuel says, of seeds that are able to have tumah chamora. And again, the answer is, kshimish, maisa eitz shimish. Again, we're going to use Rava's principle to answer that point. Once you use them as a roof, so now they're not considered food anymore. Now they're maisa eitz, and therefore, so now they have the dinim of wood. So therefore, they don't have the tumah of food, but now they have the tumah of a roof wherever that's relevant, as far as tumas oihel, as far as that the house itself becomes tame. The house itself, if it has to be demolished, then they themselves are metame. And anything inside the house when the taras is in the house also becomes tome, et cetera. So yes, we're going to use all that. Tosfos brings in this connection a point that's relevant as far as the halachas of schach in that, as far as the halachas of sukkah in that connection. A Gemara tells us in sukkah that you have, for example, vegetables that could conceivably be used as murder. So if you put them on a sukkah, then they're not considered schach posel, they're considered to be empty space, because when they dry up, they're going to fall off, so therefore they're considered as though they're already gone now. And the Gemara tells us over there, for the same reason, they don't block tumah. If there's, for example, tumah inside the sukkah, then it won't prevent somebody who's above the sukkah from becoming tumah, because the tumah will just go straight through. It's not considered a roof for that purpose. So now, Tosfos brings that the Rashbam explains, the reason they're not blocking the tumah is a different reason, not so much because they fall off, but because they're food, and food is makabel tumah. But here it seems to be saying that they're considered already ape, they're considered wood, and they're not considered food anymore. But in the end, the fact is they're it's true they're not makabel tumah, because now they're not functioning as food anymore. They're functioning as, in effect, like wood, like the wood of the sukkah. Nevertheless, though, these are such flimsy leaves that they're going to fall off very soon, and therefore they can't really be considered tzach. Okay. In any case, so we have five different dinim that we can explain based on Rava's principle that food isn't always considered food when it's maisa eitz, when instead it doesn't have the status of food, when it's being used as something else, or in the case of the Eiv Menachai, and then in the case of the Chelev, where to begin with it wasn't designated as food, then therefore it has the dinim of a non-edible thing rather than the dinim of food. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah, we had in the case where we said if the animal died without shechita and the limb was partially hanging off of it, Rav Meir had said that it's metame as Avim and Achai, but not Avim Nevela. That'll be metame as a limb that came off a living animal and not as a limb that came off but it won't be metame as a limb of a Nevela. Which we said, again, the difference is, if flesh comes off it, will that flesh alone be metame? If it's nevela, yes. If it's evim and achai, no. And then the Mishnah had said, Reb Shimon metahar, Reb Shimon says that it's tahar. So now let's take up that part. The Gemara says, the Mishnah had said Reb Shimon metahar. So the question is, manafshach. Either way we look at it, we have to understand why Reb Shimon would say metahar. Now we learned earlier in our Masechta the concept called misa oisin nipul. When an animal dies, do we consider that anything that was hanging off it, anything that was not fully, that was not properly attached to it? And again, not properly attached means, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, means where it's so far detached that it would never regenerate, it would never heal. So do we consider when the animal dies without shechting, that we consider as though all those parts fall off. So as if they fell off just before the animal died, and therefore they would be considered Eiv Menachai. So, manafshach, so either way, im nisa oisin nipul, if you tell me that when the animal dies, those parts are considered to have fallen off right before it died, l'tamei mishum Eiv Menachai, then this piece should be metame as Eiv Menachai, like Rav Meir says, because then it should be considered a moment before the animal died, then it fell off. And if you say that not, the fact is it was still attached a little bit when the animal died, fine, the time from Avim and Anavela, then it should be Matame as a limb from a Nevela, which would mean, in other words, that even if flesh is taken off it afterwards, then that would also be Matame. Why is Reb Shimon saying Matahar? Why is Reb Shimon saying altogether that it's Tahar? So the answer is Reb Shimon Ad-Resha Kari, because Reb Shimon is not in fact referring to the case, to the last mentioned case in the Mishnah, where the animal died without Shechita, but rather Reb Shimon is referring to an earlier part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had said, Eiv Basam, the Dolim Behema, that when they're hanging off the animal and not properly attached, we said Mikame Tumas Oichlin B'Mekoyman, they're able to become Tome as food in their place where they're still hanging off the animal. Tzrichin Hechsher, but they do require Hechsher. They do require being wedded with one of the Shiva Mashkim. So now, before we just said the Mishnah says that. Now we're informing you that Reb Shimon holds that it would be tahor in that case. It's not able to become tumas oichlin. So Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechon, my time is Reb Shimon. Why does Reb Shimon hold that way? Amakra, because why shouldn't it be able to have tumas oichlin? And after all, they're only slightly attached. They're almost completely detached. Why shouldn't it be considered tumas oichlin? So amakra, because the pasuk says mikol oichel asher ya'ochol. The pasuk says of all the food that can be eaten. And we can learn from that, oichel shata yochel achil alachirim, food that you're allowed to feed to others, including to goyim, is considered food, kori oichel, then that's considered food. So fine, it doesn't have to be kosher for a Jew, but it has to be kosher for somebody, at least for a goy. But food that you're not allowed to give to anybody else to eat, lacherim, to others, to goyim, in kodeh erichol, is not considered food. Well, this eivim v'nachai is also to everybody. It's also to a goy as well. Now, we did learn a few days, when we learned the Mishnah, we said that you could have the case where you thought to feed it to a goy, and therefore it would be considered food, and it would have tumas erichol. And Reb Shimon disagrees with that premise, and says, doesn't matter. The fact remains, you're not allowed to give it to a goy to eat. The goy himself is not allowed to eat it. In fact, you would be also to even give it to him, because it would be lifnei either. So Reb Shimon says, therefore it can't have tumas erichol. So that would be Reb Shimon's reason. But Amalei Reb Zera l'Rabasi, but Reb Zera asked Rabasi, how do you know that that's Reb Shimon's reasoning? Do matayma did Reb Shimon hasam ha'olam ma'ura. Maybe Reb Shimon would say the reason is because it's still attached after all. The fact is it still is connected. So fine, the Tanakama is going to say, as long as it's mostly disconnected, it can be considered a separate thing, and it can be Mekamel Tumas Erchlin, but maybe Reb Shimon disagrees with that premise. He says, as long as it's at least a little bit attached, then it's still considered attached, and therefore it can't be Mekamel Tumas, just as the animal as a whole cannot be Mekamel Tumas. As in fact, the Tanya, as we learn a Braisa, or actually it's the Tznan, we learn a Mishnah, we learned this yesterday. Yichu Shalta Enosha Nifshach, we talked about a branch of a fig tree, that was broken, or ma'ura beklipa, but it's still connected by it, and there's fruit on it, but it's still connected by the bark to the rest of the tree. Rabbi Yehuda Matar, Rabbi Yehuda would say that the fruit on that branch is still tahor, is still not able to be mekabel tumah, because the branch is still considered to be attached. If it's able to regenerate, if the branch is not so far gone, it would be conceivably you could tie it back to the tree and eventually it would heal and eventually the wood grain would merge back together and the branch would continue to live. Then the chum say tahor, then yes, the fruit on it is not mekabel tumah. V'imlav tomei, but if not, then it's going to be tomei because it's considered to be disconnected from the ground. V'amrinan loch, and we explained, and Reb Zera says, we asked you, Reb Asi, my time of the Reb Yehuda, why indeed, so we understand whether it can regenerate or not. Why does Reb Yehuda not care about that? And he says, either way, it's still not mekabel tumah. And you explain to us, because the fact is it's still connected. So it's still connected. Whether it can regenerate and live again or not doesn't matter. So the same thing, Reb Shimon's reasoning may be based on the same consideration. Fine, it's a limb that's so far gone that it's never going to regenerate. Inevitably, it's going to fall off the animal at some point. But the fact is, right now, it's still connected a little bit. And maybe that should be enough to prevent it from being mekabel tumah. So then we don't need Reb Yochanan's drasha from the word mikol ha'oichal asher ya'ochol to teach us that to explain Reb Shimon's reason. So why don't we do that? Omalei, so Reb Asi says Reb Asi says to Reb Zera, Shittim Kubetza says instead the word should be Ella. Rather, we're going to explain a different answer. Emtsi Issa. Reb Yochanan was actually saying that Reb Shimon is referring to the second case of the Mishnah. We have three cases in the Mishnah. Reb Yochanan's explanation of Reb Shimon is going to refer to the middle case. In other words, Reb Shimon is going to be referring to two cases in our Mishnah where he says that's Tahar, and Reb Yochanan is going to be using his pasuk to explain one of them. So again, in the Mishnah we had one case is where they're medudolin, where they're hanging off. So we said they're able to have tumas erchlin in their place. However, they require hechsher, they have to be wedded with one of the shiva mashkin. The second case we had in the Mishnah is where the animal was shechted, and then whether that limb is muksha with the blood or not. Reb Meir had said yes, Reb Shimon had said no, and we went through a whole discussion in the Gemara yesterday explaining six different opinions why Reb Shimon would say that, why would say it's not muksha. Then we had the last case of the Mishnah when the animal died, where we said that the limb is metameh, is eva menachai, not eva nevela. So now we said Reb Shimon is not referring, when Reb Shimon says Matahar, is not referring to that, because there's no question it's got to be Tomei, either as Eivim and Achai or Eivim and Ames, but rather the Macholik, rather Reb Shimon is, rather we have two other cases in the Mishnah where Reb Shimon says that it's Tahor. The first case where the animal, where the first case where it's still attached to the animal when the animal was still alive, and the second case where it was Shechting. So now, Reb Yochanan's Drosha, which he's going to explain Reb Shimon's reason, is going to be on that second case of the Mishnah. Namely, where the Mishnah had said Nishchata Behema, if the animal was shechted with this limb still hanging off, Hukshura B'dameha, then the limb becomes Mukshura Kabal Tumah by virtue of the blood that came out of the animal when it was shechted, and it's still considered connected. Reb Shimon Amalai Hukshu, and Reb Shimon had said that not. And Amar Reb Asi Amar Reb Yechanan, and Reb Asi had said in the name of Reb Yechanan, the words Amar Reb Asi, and there's an parenthesis over here, and in fact, in the earlier. And in fact, we didn't have Reb Asi saying that before, so it's just Reb Yochanan himself directly saying, "My time is Reb Shimon." Why does Reb Shimon say that the limb that's hanging over there is not mukshal lekabel truma together with the rest of the animal? Amakra, because of this pasuk, mikol oichal asher yochol. From any food that can be eaten, from which we can learn, only food that you're allowed to give to others, to goyim, is called food, but if you're not allowed to give it to others, and even achai, you're not, then it's not considered food, and therefore it's not, mekabel truma at all, well, therefore, so Reb Shimon says that even though there was shechita, it still doesn't become mukshal lekabel truma. A point of that is, in other words, now we learned earlier in the Masechta that limb is actually also only midrabanan. We learned earlier in the Masechta that there's only mitzvahs proish. The Chacham told us stay away from that. Evidently, Rabbi Yochanan Zerusha disagrees with that and says that at least according to Reb Shimon, it would actually be considered also daraisa. which, in fact, the Lev Aryeh points out earlier in the Masechta when we talk about that whole matter of shchita oisim nipple or not, when the shchita we talked about just before about whether an animal dies, there's nipples, we consider that things have fallen off. What about when it's shechted? So we had earlier in the Masechta, we had a discussion about that, and we had different versions of what Rabbi Yochanan says on the subject. So now we'd be saying that Rabbi Asi is saying that. So therefore, so it would actually be also daraisa, and therefore, Reb Shimon, following that logic, then Reb Shimon would learn, therefore, that's not mekabel truma at all. So the fact that you shechted the animal and blood came out wouldn't be enough to be machshir it. And in fact, the Ramban points out, so Reb Shimon doesn't just say loy hukshru, that it didn't become mukshur. In the Mishnah, Reb Shimon says loy hukshru, they did not become mukshur. Why doesn't Reb Shimon just say tohar? Because they're not tumas oichlin, and the Ramban says because Reb Meir had said they're mukshur, so therefore Reb Shimon uses the same wording loy hukshru. So that's what Reb Asi says. So that would be where Reb Yochanan's Zerusha is referring to that din. However, Rabbi Zeta says that doesn't work either. V'dimah taima de Reb Shimon v'ahi, ika de Rabba, ika de Rava, ika de Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because the reason behind Reb Shimon's din in the middle of our Mishnah might be either like Rava, or on the side it says Rabba, or like Rabbi Yochanan. We had before, again, when we had the six explanations, we had six explanations of why Reb Shimon would say that when the animal is shechted, that after and blood, and then why is the blood not machshir lekabel truma? And many of them had assumed that in fact that shechita in oisim nipple many of them had assumed that the limb is still considered attached to the animal at the time of the shchita and even afterwards. And we had the different reasons why he wouldn't consider the hechsher of an animal of the animal as a whole to also apply to this limb. One explanation we had was Rabba's, because the rest of the animal can't be considered a yad for it. And Reb Meir had said that because it depends, is it considered a yad if you pick it up by the small end, will the whole thing go with it? So you have at least those two answers, and eventually the Gemara brings many more answers. Well, then in that case, then it comes out that that's a very good reason for Reb Shimon to say that it's not that they're not mukshul makabel truma, because the wedding, in other words, they could be makabel truma, but they hadn't been, that the shchita blood had not yet been effective in doing that. So why is Reb Yochanan forced to find a drosha in the pasuk to explain Reb Shimon's opinion when we can just as well explain it by means of one of those other explanations? In fact, Rishonim actually asked, isn't Rabbi Yochanan anyway contradicting himself? Then why Rabbi Yochanan himself has to give a different answer for Rabbi Shimon? So never mind the question why Rabbi Yochanan needs a Durasha. How would we understand why Rabbi Yochanan is Rabbi Yochanan on the face of it is contradicting himself, because before he gave a reason why Rabbi Shimon would say that it's not Moksha L'Kabel Terumah because of this technicality of whether it's considered a yad or not, whereas now it comes out that you don't even need that, and you actually have a pasuk that tells us that it wouldn't be Moksha L'Kabel Terumah either. So you have a couple of different rishonim that discuss and give possible answers to that. Why the question isn't why we're not bothered by the fact that Rabbi Yochanan seems to be contradicting himself. In any case, Sarah Bassi says Ela la'olam ha'seifa. So you know what? As a matter of fact, we're going to say that after all, Reb Shimon is in fact referring to the Sefer of the Mishnah, and that Reb Yochanan's Drosha is referring to that. Now, you were bothered before. Why should Reb Shimon say that if a limb came off the animal, that we should consider it tahor? We asked, wouldn't it be either Eva Menachai or Eva from a Nevela? And either way, it should be Matame. And that was what forced us into trying to say that Reb Shimon is actually referring to earlier parts of the Mishnah. Now we're going to say, as a matter of fact, no. He is in fact going to be referring to the end of the Mishnah, to the Sefer of the Mishnah. And so you're going to ask then, in that case, then how could Reb Shimon say that it's tahor? So now we're going to explain like this. So Ela la'olam ha'seifa. So Reb Shimon is in fact disagreeing and saying that when the limb came off, it would be tahor. The lava aver ela abvaser. But you were wondering, in that case, isn't it either aver menachai or aver from nevela? And one way or the other, it's metame. No, because the answer is Reb Shimon is not referring to the limb as a whole. He's referring to just flesh that was hanging off an animal. So, in other words, we would read the Mishnah as follows: Mesa behema, if the animal dies, habosot tzarech hechsher, even flesh, even if it's not a complete aver, just flesh that's hanging off, tzarech hechsher, it does require hechsher, it does require wetting with one of the shiva mashkim to be mekabel tumah. But Reb Shimon matahar, whereas Reb Shimon says even if it became wet, it would still not be mekabel tumah. Amar Reb Yochanan, and Reb Yochanan says, my time is Reb Shimon. Why does Reb Shimon say that? Amar kromi kol oichal asher yochal, because the pasuk says any food that can be eaten, only food that can be given to others, including to goyim, is considered food. But food that you can't give to any others, even to goyim, is not considered food, and therefore he doesn't consider it food. Now, if it was a whole aver, then obviously it would be tame, because either it's aver menachai or aver menames, but aver from a nevela, and one way or the other it would be matame. But here we're talking about just flesh. So then Reb Shimon is going to say that even if it was mukhshar, it doesn't become trauma. It's not able to be makabel trauma. And in that case, Rashi points out, certainly there's no question that Reb Shimon would also argue on the Reisha when they're still connected. But for that, you don't need a pasuk, because in the Reisha, we have a different reason why, because it's still connected. Like we said, hoyul ma'ura ma'ura, it's still connected. But at least we can use Rabbi Yochanan's Drasha to explain in that last case of the Mishnah. In fact, Rabbi Shimon is saying that it's Tomei, that it's Tahor, that's not Makabel Truma, but he doesn't mean the thing as a whole. He just means flesh that came off individually. Now that we talked about all these dinim as far as an animal, now the Mishnah is going to round out and finish off the parak with similar dinim as far as a person, where you have a limb that's hanging off them and not going to be able to regenerate afterwards. And the Mishnah says, "Ha'eva v'abosam l'dolin ba'adam." If you have a limb as a whole, or flesh that is hanging off a person, so then tahorim, then they're tahor, they're not yet tamei, because The pasuk says ki yomus. When a person dies, adam ki yomus v'ayil, and here it's not dead yet. So even though it's not going to regenerate, nevertheless it's still not matame. So as long as it's not matame, as apart from a dead person. There is a point actually that when it's completely cut off, then it is matame. We actually learn that from the fact that the Torah mentions b'halal cherev oy b'meis. It mentions a person killed by a sword or died of some other cause. Now it doesn't make a difference whether he was killed by a sword or whatever. So we learn from that that, for example, if a sword or other kind of thing like that was used to cut off a limb from a person, then that limb is matame. But now, as long as it's still attached, then you don't have a chiyomus, and therefore it's not matame yet. What happens? Nessa Adam. What happens if the person dies? What happens if the person dies and that part is still attached to him? Ha'evim etam mishum evim anachai. So now that limb is going to be matame as even. So sorry, I skipped a line. If the person dies, habaster tahor. If it was just flesh that was hanging off and not a complete limb, then it's also tahor. So it's considered. In other words, it's considered bostam and achai, and there's no tumor in that. Which we'll see in the Gemara details about that. But her aver, as far as an aver as a whole, metamim from aver menachai, it will be metame as an aver from a living person. Ve'ena metamim from aver menames, but not as a limb from a dead person. Now the difference being that if it's an aver as a whole, then you can have all three types of tumah: maga, masa, and oihel. But if you have an aver, and then you have a piece of that aver, a piece of flesh comes off that aver, or a piece of bone comes off that aver, it's not going to be matame, as we'll see in the Gemara. Not everybody agrees to that, but we'll see in the Gemara there is such an opinion, and that is the halacha. Give it a mayor, so this is all according to the mayor. In other words, so when now we're going to say misa oisin nipol, we're going to say again that when the person dies, it's considered that limb fell off him while he was alive, and therefore it's not going to be considered aver and ames, it's only going to be considered to be aver and achai. So as a whole limb, it will be matame. but as a whole limb, it will be matame. But if now individual flesh or bone comes off it, then that will not be matame. Divrei Reb Meir, that's all according to Reb Meir. Reb Shimon matahar, and Reb Shimon says it's tahar, which we'll discuss in the Gemara what Reb Shimon means. Worth mentioning in this connection, a medrash that tells a story about someone in the times of the Gemara named Yosef HaKoyen. So obviously he was a Koyen. The Gemara mentions him in a few places as an example of a real chosid, or a real person who went lefnim meshuras hadin. So the medrash tells one time he needed an operation on his leg. They had to amputate his leg. There's no anesthesia, no nothing. You can imagine what the operation was like. So he had his son with him to help him out, to be with him, to support him, to keep him company during the operation. At one point though, he tells the doctors, when you get to the point where the limb, where my leg is connected only by a tiny little bit of flesh, then tell me. So they're soaring through over there, and they get to that point where there's only that little bit, where there's still that little bit attached. And then Yosef says to his son, now you have to leave the room, because up until now, that limb attached to me was not matame. But after all, you're my son, you're a Kohen. And if you stay in here, then you are going to become tame as well, and we can't have that. So even though I would like to have you for support by my side, I can't allow you to become tame. And Chazal praised him very much for that and applied to him a pasuk, Yesh Tzadik Oved B'Tzidkoi. You have a tzadik who, even when he's being lost, even when he's in desperate straits like that, he still retains his tzidkos, and he has the presence of mind to send out his son so that he doesn't become tame. So the Gemara asks Reb Shimon Monofshach. Now again, we have to ask, why is Reb Shimon Matahar? It seems either way. If you say that when the person dies, it's considered that piece fell off, l'tam mishum evim anachai. So then, in other words, it should be considered a moment before he died, it fell off. Then it should be l'tam as an evim anachai. The e'e misa oisin nipple, and if not, if we consider that when the person is dead, then it's still attached to him, l'tam mishum evim anames, then it should be l'tam as a limb from a dead person. So either way, why is Reb Shimon saying that it's tahor? So the answer is Reb Shimon Ba'al Makori. He's not talking about this specific case. He's talking about the limbs of a dead person in general. Namely, Jakama Tanakama, Ha'eva Matame, Mishum Eva Menachai. So the Tanakama, the mayor, is telling us that the limb is Matame as Eva Menachai, Ve'en Matame, Mishum Eva Menameth, but it's not Matame as a limb from a dead person. Alma, meaning, in other words, that we see the premise is Eva Menameth, Ba'alma Matame. So in general, a limb that's cut off from a dead person is going to be Makabo, is going to be Matame. Like we said before, we learned from this Zrosha, Bachalal Cherev, that was cut off by a sword. But Reb Shimon says, a mess, but Alma Lenatame. In general, an Ava from a mess is not going to be Matame. Only if it doesn't have the size of a Kezias on it. In other words, Rashi says, we always have that a Kezias, the flesh from a mess, is Matame. There's no question about that. But Reb Shimon says, suppose that this Ava is so small that there's not a Kezias of flesh on it. Well, then, Reb Shimon says, just the fact that it's an Ava itself is not going to be Matame. As far as the bone, though, fine, if you touch it or if you carry it, then it would still be Matame anyway. But the point is that now, according to Reb Shimon, it wouldn't have Tumas Oyel, and suppose even the bone in it is less than the size of a grain of barley, then there wouldn't even be any Tumah at all. So in other words, he's not arguing with a particular case in our Mishnah, but he's arguing with Rameir's premise, with Rameir's unstated premise, that the Aver of a mess is Matame, and Reb Shimon says, no, only if that Aver has at least a Kezias of flesh on it, and in the case of, fine, if you want to talk about Tumah of carrying or touching, then it would have to have a bone at least the size of a grain of barley. The fact that it's an Aver, as a whole, doesn't give it any special status, says Reb Shimon. So D'tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa about, a discussion about that point. Omer Rabbi Eliezer says, Shamaiti she'eva menachai metame. I have heard from my Rabbeim that a limb from a living person is metame. Omer le Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says, why are you saying menachai? Menachai v'loi mena mes? Do you mean only from a living person, not from a dead person? On the contrary, the Kal v'Chomer, Umah Chai Shu Tahor, Madach, a living person who is Tahor, a living person, of course, is able to have various tumas that come out of his body, but in and of itself, a person's body is not Matame when he's alive. And you're telling me that if a limb is taken off of him, then it's Matame. Mes Shu Tome, like Koshigain, how much more so a mess, which itself is Tome, how much more so then the limb that comes off it should be Tome as well. You're going to tell me, Rabbi Eliezer, but you're Rabbeim. You're going to tell me that you're Rabbeim mentioned only Eva Menachai, that only a limb from a living person, and you're going to say, well, therefore, that implies itself that it means not from a dead person. So Rabbi Yeshua says you can't always draw such an inference. For example, he says, cost of the Megillas Tainus. Consider what it says in Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus is a sefer from the end of the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, where they listed in it different special days, on different days on which special things, nisim, happened for the Jewish people, mostly during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, a little bit before and a little bit after, when various zedus were batal, when they were able to defeat the tzedukim in various arguments, and so on and so forth. Nowadays, the halacha is batal Megillas Tainus, that Megillah is batal, and you're allowed to fast, and you're allowed to make a stadium on those days, with the exception of Hanukkah and Purim. So in any case, it says in Megillas Tainus, Pischa Ze'ira Deloyla Misbad. On the small Pesach, which is to say Pesach Sheni, then you're not allowed to make a spadim. You're not allowed to fast, and you're not allowed to make a hesped for a person who died. Now, what are you going to think? It means only on the small Pesach, only on Pesach Sheni? You're not allowed to make a hesped, horabal a misbad. What do you think the implication would be? And on the great Pesach, on the main Pesach, you're allowed to make a hesped? Of course not. Ella Koldekain. So the Braisa, the Megillas Tainus, doesn't need to say that because it's obvious. Of course, you can't do a hesped on the main Pesach, and therefore the Braisa just mentions the little one. Hochanami Koldekain. The same way. You heard from your Rebbeim that a limb from a living person is Matame. What are you thinking? The implication is that it means only from a living person and not from a dead person. That's not how this works. Omalei, so Rabbi Eliezer says, Kach Shamaiti. I know, but this is how I learned from my Rebbeim. That no, it's not just I learned from them from a living person, and I'm deducing that it means only a living person. They actually told me explicitly only from a living person. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds, therefore, that an Aver from a living person is not Matame. So Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah then is following that. Meanwhile, Rabbi Meir is going according to Rabbi Yeshua, which would mean, in other words, in that story that we just told with Yosef HaKoyen, it would come out, if the halacha had been like Rabbi Eliezer and like Rabbi Shimon, then he wouldn't have had to send out his son because that limb that was cut off from him while he was alive wouldn't be Matame anyway. But since the halacha is not like that, is why he had to send out his son. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My ikar ben eva min achai, le'eva min ames." Fine. What's the actual practical difference between a limb from a living person and from a dead person? Now, of course, according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon, there's a big difference. One is matame, one is not. But according to the mayor and according to Rabbi Yeshua, that there is in fact that both of them are matame. Then what's the actual difference? And the answer is Kazayas Bosov, Etzim Kasa'urda, Purdishma Evman Achai, Ikabinaihu. The difference would be, what about if a Kazayas of flesh or bone, the size of a grain of barley, that is taken off of that Evman Achai, that would be the argument. So in other words, if you had, let's say the whole, again, in Yosef HaKoyen's case, the whole leg was cut off, and now you were to take a Kazayas of flesh or a piece of bone, the size of a grain of barley, off that, would that be Matame? So just Tanan. Now we learn, and this is a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Aegeus. So here you're talking about an Avim and Achai. You start off with an Avim and Achai, and again we just said that Rabbi Eliezer holds that an Avim and Achai is Matame. So now we learn in a Mishnah, Kezayis Bosa Aperdash Avim and Achai. If a Kezayis of flesh is taken off a limb that had previously come off a living person, Rabbi Eliezer Matame. Rabbi Eliezer will say that Kezayis of flesh is Matame. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, Rabbi Yeshua Matarin, whereas Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona and Rabbi Yeshua would say that it's Tahor. Well then, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir is following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, who would say that the flesh that comes from an Avim and Achai is Matahor. On the other hand, is Tahor. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua says that an Avim and Ames is also Matame. He disagrees with Rabbi Yezer on that, and therefore that would be the difference in, our Mishnah. So that's as far as that. What about etzim kesa'ura ha'podesh me'evim and achai? What about a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley that comes off an eva from a living person? Rab Nechunya matame. So now Rab Nechunya is going. So now you're going to have the same three chachamim but in a different arrangement. Rab Nechunya is going to hold that it's tame. Rab Eliezer and Rab Yeshua matare. And Rab Eliezer and Rab Yeshua are both going to agree that it's tahor. Now Rashi brings from the Mishnah in Aedius, so the point is, in other words, again, so in our Mishnah, Rav Meir then is saying that when it comes to an Avim and Ames, then it's Matame, and any piece that's taken off it is also going to be Matame. That's according to Rav Yeshua, that the limb as a whole is Matame in the first place. Now, when he says so that would be an Avim and Ames. Anything that comes off it is going to be Matame. On the other hand, when it comes to Avim and Achai, the Avim and Achai as a whole will be Matame, like Rabbi Yeshua. But when you have a Kezayis or a bone that comes off it, then you're going to have the different opinions of Rabbi Yeshua, who say that flesh that comes off it will be Matame, but a bone that comes off it will be Tahor. Rashi explains that the Mishnah and Aedius over there explains they seem to be a little bit inconsistent. So why are they doing that? They started by asking Rabbi Eliezer, be consistent. Either you should say that in both cases with an Avim, when you start off with an Avim and Achai, where you agree that an Avim and Achai as a whole is Matame, and you're saying you're drawing a distinction between flesh that comes off it and a bone that comes off it, and you're saying flesh you're saying is Matame and a bone you're saying is Tahor. So why is that? So he says, because flesh is more capable of being tame, because you see that it applies to nevela and shrotzim, as opposed to bones are not. Bones of a nevela, as we learned before, are not tame on their own, only when they're a yad for the flesh, or when they're a shomer for the marrow. Then they turned to Rav Nechunya and said, why are you being inconsistent? You're saying that in the case of the flesh you're being matahar. On the other hand, in the case of the bone, you're being matame. Why are you being inconsistent? And Rav Nechunya says, because bones, on the other hand, we find that, if flesh alone comes off a living person, then it's tahar, but if a limb as a whole comes off a person, then it's tame. So we see that a bone has a stronger capability of trauma. Then they said to Rabbi Yeshua, why do you hold both of them are tahor when it comes off a living person, when the equivalence would be tame when they come from a dead person? And Rabbi Yeshua says, because with a dead person, you have many more types of tumah. You have a quarter kav of bones alone is able to be matame. You can have a majority of bones. You have corpse dust that we learned about before. You have a whole variety of different things which are matame from a mess. So therefore, as opposed to a living person, you don't have any of those. So Tosfos, in fact, explains that what it is apparently they must have had a drosha of some kind. They must have had a drosha of some kind from a pasuk with Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Nechunya, that one of them is Tomei, and they're arguing which one it fits with more logically. And Rebbe Yeshua says that no, that drosha would refer to something else altogether. Okay, the point is, in other words, everybody agrees that there's something from an Eiv Menachai that's not Metame. According to Rabbi Yeshua, both things. According to Rabbi Eliezer, a bone, and according to Rabbi Nechunya, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, flesh. So that would be the difference, as opposed to with Eivim and Ames. Once we hold like Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Eliezer, that an Eivim and Ames is Metame, and not like Rabbi Eliezer had heard from his Rebbein, that only a limb from a living person is Metame, then any part that comes off it afterwards, any flesh or any bone that comes off of it, is also going to be Metame. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hash is the Osis Lahachi. So again, so that also helps us explain then, so that helps us explain Rav Meir's opinion in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Hash to the Osis Lahachi. Now that you get down to that, now that you realize that there is in fact a machlokas about bone versus flesh from an Eivim and Achai, so now we can also understand what does Rav Shimon mean when he says in the Mishnah, but Rav Shimon Matar, we can say, Bein Tanakama, but Rav Shimon Nami, the difference between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon will also be Kazayis Vasa, the Etzim Kasa'ur, Ikabinayu, the argument would be when you have a Kazayis of, when you have a Kazayis of flesh or a bone of the size of a grain of barley, comes off the Aver. So before we were saying that Reb Shimon would have to hold like Reb Eliezer, that an Aver from a dead person is not Matame at all. That he, because of Reb Eliezer. Now we could actually say Reb Shimon in fact does agree with Reb Yeshua on the basic concept that an Aver and Ames is Matame. And in fact we are talking about over here an Aver and Achai, and we're talking about whether there's a difference, how far does that difference extend. So the Tanakama would hold either that when it comes, that flesh comes off an Avim and Achai is Metame, but a bone is not, or like Rav Nechunya who says the other way around, and Rav Shimon meanwhile would hold like Rav Yeshua who says that both of them are Tahor, as opposed to when it was the limb as a whole, then Rav Shimon would agree that it is Tomei. So Rabbi Yeshua could be agreeing with Rabbi Yeshua, but he would be agreeing with Rabbi Yeshua across the board. An Avim and Ames is going to be Metame no matter what, and even pieces of that come off it afterwards, whereas an Avim and Achai as a whole will be Metame, but pieces that come off it, will not. As opposed to an Avim and Ames, where any of those things from it are going to be Metame. So that's that. So we can understand Rav Shimon that way. Hadron alacha orva reitiv.